This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiye Suhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Even though, as we speak, bodies are washing ashore from the same Mediterranean Sea where billionaires sunbait on their super yachts. Derna is a sad snapshot of the state of our world.
The UN, that's UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, on how deadly floods that killed thousands in Libya is an example of the world's rich-poor divide. Details coming up also. The EU says it's withdrawing $5 million in financial support to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. And Kenya has signed a $60 million grant agreement to improve urban transport in Nairobi. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. Our top story, a first round of speeches was delivered by world leaders at the United Nations General Assembly in New York yesterday. Many focused on dire realities in their countries and the urgent need to improve the lives of millions of people. VOA's Veronica Balderas Iglesias has the details.
Under tight security measures, several world leaders attending the 78th session of the United Nations General Assembly explained how the plight of their citizens brought them to New York. Dina Boluarte, president of Peru.
We are here to shorten the gaps of hunger and poverty.
The priorities of the most advanced economies were also heard loud and clear. U.S. President Joe Biden.
To join together with partners who share a common vision of the future of the world, where our children do not go hungry and everyone has access to quality health care, where workers are empowered and our environment is protected.
However, ahead of a week of high-level meetings at UNGA, a UNICEF report warned that the world is still grappling with multiple crises, including health and economic challenges. It also urged world leaders to put children's rights at the top of their agendas. The devastating effects of climate change and how they are exacerbated by world inequities didn't go unnoticed on Tuesday. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Thousands of people in Derna, Libya, lost their lives in epic, unprecedented flooding. Even though, as we speak, bodies are washing ashore from the same Mediterranean Sea where billionaires sunbait on their super yachts. Derna is a sad snapshot of the state of our world.
But things don't have to be so dire, said Dennis Francis, president of the General Assembly.
By putting aside our differences and bridging divides, we can deliver, we must deliver, peace, progress, prosperity, and sustainability to everyone, everywhere.
More calls to action are expected to be made on Wednesday when more world leaders deliver their speeches at the UN headquarters in New York. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, the United Nations.
Food. Faced with challenges of food security across the continent, the African Union recently appointed former Niger Prime Minister Ibrahim Mayaki as its special envoy for food systems. The aim is to encourage African countries to move quickly to improve agricultural production using innovation and new research. Dr. Mayaki spoke this week at an Atlantic Council event in food security in Africa on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly in New York. VOA's Peter Cloete sat down with him for a deeper look at his role for the AU and why it's critical for nations on the continent to modernize food production.
As you know, Africa will double its population according to the lowest scenarios by 2050. If we have difficulties in feeding currently 1.3 billion, how will we manage governance issues in 2050 with 2.5, 2.6 billion? So food security is critical, fundamental, not only in order to reduce poverty, but in order to increase wealth by transforming those small-scale farmers we have into micro, small, and medium entrepreneurs. That will be absolutely essential. So my role is to look at that long-term perspective, and from that long-term perspective and what is requested to feed those 2.x billion, analyze the tools that we currently have. What are we doing in terms of adaptation, climate change, adaptation, and agriculture? What are we doing in terms of agricultural inputs? What are we doing in terms of soil health? What are we doing in terms of nutrition? What are we doing in terms of trade? Trading maize, trading rice.
What has been the responses of these policymakers in terms of your engagement with them? Because this is critical for Africa to feed itself. As people say, Africa cannot always depend on others to feed them. So what has been the responses of them in terms of putting mechanisms of measures in place to ensure that their people are fed?
Yeah, that's a very important question. But they are more and more aware of the fact that political determination is key. Our food import bill is between $60 and $70 billion, according to the Food and Agricultural Organization, FAO. Mm-hmm. These 60 to 70 billions, they come out of the pockets of ordinary Africans. So if we can spend $70 billion in importing food, why don't we reorient these resources to improve our production and our productivity? So policymakers are really sensitive to what all over the continent. You might have a few cases, but globally, the tools are in place. Now, there are two issues that we need to fix. The first one is to have the right enabling environment in terms of policies to attract the private sector and to transform these small-scale farmers, who are also a private sector, in micro and small entrepreneurs. The second thing we need to do is not forget that as urbanization is accelerating. In 2050, more than 50% of our population will be in urban areas. Their diets will be changing. And we need to take that into account. Climate change will be very important.
And that was Ibrahim Mayaki, the African Union Special Envoy for Food Systems. He spoke with VOA's Peter Cloti in New York. Libyan officials began restricting access by reporters and aid organizations to relief operations in Derna after protests this week over the government response to floods that washed away entire neighborhoods. Fodi Benin is senior editor with Al Ahura, a U.S. government-funded Arabic-language television broadcaster. Benin tells VOA's Carol Van Dam Al Ahura's reporters left Derna but are going back, and he says some journalists and aid groups refused to leave because of confusion over what kind of access would be permitted later. He begins their discussion by describing what Al Ahura is reporting about conditions on the ground.
The situation in the early first days of the catastrophe, it was a very difficult situation. But since the last 40 hours, they say it's coming down. In the beginning, there was no plan of providing aid and relief. There was full chaos. In the last days, they started to organize the work, how to do, what to do, and the relief teams are working faster than they were before.
So you're saying that in the beginning it was pretty chaotic, but now aid is finally reaching some people in Derna?
Yeah.
How are people getting through their days? Are shelters being made available for them? Is food reaching them?
Yes. In the beginning, they found difficulty in providing people with food. And after the 3 days later, they started to, people started to receive food and other kinds of help. Even for shelters, they don't have. They are most in schools, or they went to their far relatives in remote areas.
And what about healthcare? Are they getting some kind of, you know, medical aid?
This is a big problem. This is a big problem. They say the literally there is no healthcare, and that's why authorities there are fear from disease. In the beginning, they ordered the people of the affected area to leave the places where they are. But then they reversed the decision. They told them stay, but avoid drinking water, tap water. Just bottled water, you can drink it, because there are many cases of disease.
We have heard that the people are worried about disease outbreak, but has there been any reports of actual, you know, disease outbreaks there yet?
They reported, but not officially. The reporter then said we heard some cases, but the local authorities there didn't confirm these cases.
Some analysts say Libya is an example of why, perfect example, really, of why government matters. And when it's not functioning, go ahead.
There is no government. You have two governments, but on the ground, you have nothing. These governments are in conflict. Even if you heard that the reporters were ordered to leave Derna 2 days ago, the same authority that asked them to leave, they told them, you may return. I asked our reporters why this kind of contradiction. They say that the order of leaving the city came after demonstrations against the local authority. The people demonstrated, they criticized the management. They are calling for an investigation in the issue of the two dams, many things. So one of them said many officials are free to affect this image to the people. They asked the media to leave. Then they were afraid of maybe the world reaction. They allowed them to come back.
They asked the reporters to leave. Does it seem like that was in direct response to a lot of the criticism that the government's receiving and the protests that you mentioned?
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, that that's why they were asked to leave.
Yeah. And after just a few hours, they told the reporters, you can come back.
Did it seem that journalists were in any way interfering with the aid delivery?
No.
Fodi Benin, senior editor of the satellite TV channel Al Hura, he was speaking to VOA's Carol Van Dam from Springfield, Virginia. Kenyan President William Ruto has signed a $60 million grant agreement with the U.S. Millennium Challenge Corporation on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly session in New York. The grant will help improve urban transport in Nairobi by concentrating on four projects, making the Kenya program the largest of its kind with MCC's portfolio. VOA Nairobi Bureau Chief Mariama Diallo has the story.
Kenyan President William Ruto lauded the new agreement with the U.S. Foreign Aid Agency, MCC, at the signing in New York City Tuesday evening, where he's also attending the 78th session of this year's U.N. General Assembly.
So there's a whole 1 million people who come in and out of Nairobi every day. That poses a very significant challenge on the transport infrastructure. So apart from the matatu transport system, the mass bus transport system is a very important component.
Threshold grants help countries to reduce constraints to faster economic growth and increase transparency and accountability in the provision of public services. Millennium Challenge Corporation CEO Alice Albright says this grant, the second one to Kenya since 2003, will be the largest and most ambitious threshold agreement that MCC has signed in its 20-year history.
We like to measure with all of our work the number of people who could be helped. And in this case, we estimate that about 4.3 million people could be helped by this threshold agreement.
James Gerard, MCC's managing director for threshold programs, told VOA, This program, which includes four projects, will help support the Kenyan government in improving transportation and land use planning in the capital, Nairobi.
One on to help build the capacity of the Nairobi Metropolitan Area Transport Authority, NAMATA, with their transportation planning needs. The second project will focus on what we call non-motorized transport. So helping citizens, particularly citizens of working class who use non-motorized transport, as well as informal forms of transport such as matatus.
Matatus are privately owned public transport vehicles. Some are old and not in the best shape, but often beautifully decorated with famous sayings and or people. A vast majority of commuter trips in and out of Nairobi are taken using matatus.
The third project will focus on land use in and around certain areas of Nairobi, trying to help urban planning around transportation hubs to better make use of that land. And finally, the fourth project is really to focus on helping finance future options around bus rapid transit in Nairobi, and particularly looking at greener options to move citizens around the city using perhaps electric vehicles.
Korir Singoe, Kenya's Principal Secretary for Foreign Affairs in the Ministry of Foreign and Diaspora Affairs, has been one of the lead negotiators for this grant. He told VOA, it's exhilarating to finally get to this point.
It's a moment of pride for Kenya because eligibility for MCC program financing is predicated on democratic governance, economic freedoms, and investment in people that is evident in a particular country. And so to have Kenya first be eligible for this program under MCC represents an acknowledgement on the part of the United States that indeed Kenya sits in a very unique space in relation to these issues.
Additionally, he says this program will allow Kenya to build the necessary capacity to become eligible for a much bigger financing program under MCC, known as the Compact Program, which could be worth around $800 million. Mariama Diallo, VOA News, Nairobi.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
You're listening to African News Tonight on The Voice of America. The European Union says it is withdrawing $5 million in financial support to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission because of what it calls a lack of independence and transparency in the country's disputed August polls. Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare on reactions to the EU decision.
In a statement late Tuesday, the EU embassy in Harare said Brussels is pulling out its $5 million financial support to the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission because of the way the commission ran the country's August general election. President Emmerson Mnangagwa defeated Nelson Chamisa of the Citizens Coalition for Change in the hotly contested August 23 election. Nick Mangwana is the government spokesman.
We did not set institutions that underpin our democracy in Chapter 12 of our Constitution so that they can be funded by foreigners. As government, we always provide for ZEC's needs through the fiscus. So as far as we are concerned, it is a non-event. We did not apply for this funding. its withdrawal does not mean anything. ZEC will fulfill its mandate through the funding that it gets from the people of Zimbabwe.
Promise Mkwananzi is the spokesman for the opposition Citizens Coalition for Change, which disputes the president's victory.
It's actually surprising that EU funded ZEC in the first place in the state that it is, as it is. ZEC is improperly composed, it is not independent, it is not professional. We saw it in the previous elections, we've seen it even more glaringly in this election. So we're quite surprised that the EU entrusted the taxpayers' money of Europeans to such a group. The way forward, really, like we've already articulated, is the disbandment of ZEC totally and the firing of all the individuals who were involved, both at commission and secretariat level, and recommissioning and recomposing ZEC based on individuals of integrity, of honor, and independence. We will then reconstitute ZEC in accordance with the constitution and the laws of our country in preparation for a fresh, free and fair election.
The EU's observer mission to Zimbabwe's elections was among other missions which condemned the way Zimbabwe Electoral Commission ran the August polls. The Southern African Development Community Mission said the elections fell far short of the regional body's electoral guidelines and infringed on the country's constitution and electoral laws. Linda Basarira is the founder of the opposition Labour Economists and African Democrats Party. She says African countries need to run elections without EU help.
They've always wanted to meddle with how we do elections in this country. And it should be a wake-up call to the government of this country to start funding its own elections, its own processes, its own government programs. We cannot continue running with begging bowls to the West and the East.
Gibson Ngadzilo is a Harare-based independent political analyst, agrees with Masarida.
It only shows us that the European Union or the Western world has a way it wants to construct some truths and knowledge regarding the issues to do with elections, the issues to do with the democratic processes in nations of the South. And this explains why they are failing to come to terms with the reality that ZANU-PF was officially declared the winner.
But Brighton Tebuka, a lawyer and political commentator, says the EU was justified in withdrawing the money.
It is not just the EU who were here on the ground via their electoral observer missions, but we've got the regional body as well, SADC, and the AU as well. And they've all concluded that the election that ZEC delivered fell far short of those standards, quite brazenly so in many respects in terms of what we saw. So the ball is in ZEC's court.
On Wednesday, Zimbabwe Electoral Commission refused to comment on the EU's announcement. Kulamba Zimbabwe, VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
And with that, we wrap up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehia Suhib in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbili Abaro, and our engineer, Nashwan Kali, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays,